You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Coming up.
I remember getting lots of messages saying that I'm only bisexual because it appeases heterosexual men that I get with women.
A Gay and a Non-Gay is a podcast from James Barr and Dan Hudson. They're like a lovely little couple, except they're not.
It's Pride Month on A Gay and a Non-Gay, which means amazing members of our queer family are up in here. Check out our chat with... Sorry, did you have something to say?
I just laughed at saying you saying up in here.
Check out our chat about coming out with Elle of a Day and our empowering interview with Jake and Hannah Graff about trans love. But right now, we welcome the B in LGBTQ+. It's bisexual queen, campaigner, future lawyer. Okay, hon. And Love Island alumni, Sharon Gafka.
Woo!
Hey, Sharon.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Welcome to A Gay and a Non-Gay.
Why is Love Island so straight?
Do you know what? I don't think Love Island is so straight, but I think people portray themselves as completely straight to get on the show, maybe.
Do you think so?
I think so, because, you know, we saw in one of the first challenges two girls kiss, girls flirting with each other, like loads of boys admitted they kissed other boys, and I think it was Dammy that was like, yeah, I'd do it again. It doesn't bother me. Like, why is it a big deal if I kiss another man? And I think I'm not the first bisexual contestant that's ever walked through the door, but I think, you know, they're just logistically less difficult to be straight on the show.
So this is what I want to talk about, because I'm not really okay with Love Island, and I'm grateful that we've got our own platform to sort of talk about it, but I do think I'm sort of preaching to the choir with our listeners. But I think it is offensively straight, and I think that what we saw in the first episode where Amber and Tasha sharing that kiss, that very much felt like sort of, I don't know if that was really showing LGBTQ plus culture or more just like...
Played for the man.
It was kind of playing...
It's two birds getting off, basically.
Yeah, and so it kind of feels a bit gross to me, almost a bit like what we see on a regular basis online, you know, where straight men don't mind two women kissing because it's hot, but they wouldn't like it if two guys did it.
I do agree in the sense that maybe, you know, the kissing was more played up for the guys instead of being a bit more... free about their sexuality. But you know, I'd love to welcome more queer contestants onto Love Island. I don't think it's logistically difficult.
Deliver your best chat up line to the girl you fancy the most.
You can't do that.
Why can't I?
Oh,
I've got a good one. Tash, fancy giving us a Tash?
In 2021, an ITV commissioner basically told Radio Times that putting queer contestants in Love Island would be, quote, logistically difficult. And although Islanders don't have to be 100% straight, case in point for you over here, fabulous, the format must sort of give the Islanders an equal choice when coupling up. That was why they called it logistically difficult. Mm-hmm. Do you agree? I'm guessing you don't because you said you didn't. Do you agree with that?
No. So when we watched, is it Sophie and I can't remember the other lady's name, couple up in, I think it's 2016.
Yes.
Yeah. They just send more boys home.
Yeah. I mean, great.
And then bring more boys in. They do tell you when you go through the casting process that you're not guaranteed to be into the villa unless you walk through that door. So you're never guaranteed. Just bring more people out.
Yeah.
Tell them the same thing. And then, you know, if you have people coupling up with same-sex couples and then they change their mind and then go to mixed gender couples and then vice versa, just send more people home.
Yeah.
I was going to say, in The Apprentice, when Lord Sugar fires someone, or he might fire two people in 1 week, later in the series, there's a week where he doesn't fire anyone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not. It just balances out.
Yeah.
And you're saying there's a whole bunch of people that aren't on TV just behind the scenes waiting to go on. Yeah. On a casting couch or whatever, that they've been chosen, pre-selected.
Subs bench.
Why not just send more in?
Well, yeah. So I think some of the people that were in my season said that they knew people that were in cast holding and never made it onto the show.
Wow.
So, I mean, I don't know how factually accurate that is, but, you know, that's always a possibility, right? You know, just carry on doing the same thing. Have more people on standby ready to go in. And then if they don't go in, they don't go in. That's a risky take.
Okay, so is this show homophobic? To me, it is very much so, because I can't see another reason why they haven't made an effort. And they're steadfast in not making an effort. They're doing this sort of bisexual teasing this season by letting two people kiss. And to me, it stinks of homophobia.
Yeah, I can completely get why you would think that. But I think because I know sexuality of some of the people behind the scenes making the show. That's what makes me question that it's not.
Yeah, but then sometimes it's the people that are gay that are homophobic. They've had people be horrible to them and they're scared of their own careers and their own position. Now, obviously, you know people, so it's a difficult position to put you in to ask you that. But I just cannot understand why they are so determined not to even add some kind of queer culture in there, even if it's pronouns on a water bottle or a queer comedian or a queer performer or a queer voiceover or more queer people. Like, if it's the contestants that make it logistically difficult, why not have a different energy coming in from somewhere that says this show is open to everyone and for everyone?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I didn't think about I thought about the pronouns on water bottles, but I never thought about having queer people in other aspects of the show. I actually never thought about it. So yeah, there's not really an excuse to not have that, I guess. I mean, even on the panel for like After Sun, I think it would probably be great to have more queer people on the panel talking about Love Island. You know, I wrote an article saying that the self-proclaimed owners of love. Love is for everyone. It's not just for sexual people. And I think that they should make a clear point of that, especially if they're airing during Pride Month, you know?
Yeah.
Right? Thank you, Sharon.
It's funny because so many other TV shows are bending over backwards to do the opposite.
Yeah.
And to put rainbows on everything and to have characters that are gay. So it does feel bizarre how the biggest TV show, or certainly one of the biggest, is just like, no. Like, we're just not.
Yeah. And does it feel like that's, you're way closer to this than us. Does it feel like that to you? Is it like, no?
Yeah, that is what it feels like to me. And you know what? It's tiring trying to argue for something that I shouldn't have to argue over. I remember getting loads of messages being like, what about heterosexual representation? And I just looked at it and was like, are you not represented in everything? There is space for everyone. They should just try and find a way to make it work, because if other shows have been able to make it work.
I just feel like I love Love Island. I think it's great. I think it's a really funny show. Mm. It's very entertaining. It's relationships, which I'm obsessed with. So it lets me down, but it's not just Love Island. It's a lot of, to be honest, it's a lot of ITV. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's because it's so family focused, but they let me down on a lot of levels through a lot of different shows. There's often not queer representation there. And that offends me. And I just feel like the only reason for that must be homophobia, because why would you not make an effort? And they talk about mental health a lot.
Yeah.
But that feels like they've done that because they have to, rather than something they chose actively to want to be passionate about. And I'm confused why they don't want to represent and make it easier for other people. Because I think if you have a platform, you have a responsibility not just to entertain, but also to educate.
Yeah, of course.
And to bring people along. And it upsets me that they aren't doing that.
I mean, queer representation doesn't make it not family friendly, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if they're so bent on...
Great word.
If they're so bent on Love Island being heterosexual because it's logistically easier, then why are you not creating a show of a similar nature that does represent the queer community? Do you know what, actually? Personally, I think having a queer Love Island would be far more entertaining than having a heterosexual Love Island.
So much more funny.
Because you have no idea where anyone is going to go or what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think it will be messy, but I think it would be great.
It will be so good. So much more funny, so much more entertaining. But even, you know, even if that's too far, I love Ian Sterling too, by the way, so I don't want him out of a job. But just get like a gaze on a Sunday to do some voiceovers. Put you on there doing a voiceover, talking about it, laughing at the straight people. You know what I mean? Like, it's not difficult. Get two queer, gay people, whoever, just to talk about it.
Or even if you do, like, was it the Unseen Bits?
Right.
So, you know, like, Ian Sterling doesn't have to do voiceover for Unseen Bits. You could just get somebody else. There's loads of people, like presenters from the queer community, that would make great people to do voiceovers for the Unseen Bits. That's the weird and wonderful parts of the show, right?
What about Love Byland?
Ooh.
Do you know, actually, somebody asked me if I'd be willing to go on that. I actually think I would.
Would you?
Yeah, I think I would. I think it'd be good. I think it'd be great. I probably would feel less isolated on it.
Did you feel isolated when you were on it?
Yeah, for a lot of different reasons. I don't think it was just sexuality. But I've always struggled with like ethnicity and whether my ethnicity made me attractive to people. Just because where I grew up, it was the standard beauty was blonde. So I think being there made me think more about what it was like when I was younger and like made me relive that again. So I felt like crap quite a lot of the time when I was in there. And, you know, my friends will tell you, since I've come out, I have not struggled for any attention since. So, you know, obviously that is an isolated incident and I personally don't want to do that one again. But yeah, no, I think in Love Byland would be straight on that.
Great choice of word again.
I'm not doing it on purpose, I promise.
a gay and a non-gay.
It's not particularly representative of anyone really, though, is it? You don't get any fat people in there, for example, or like...
well, don't sugarcoat it, will you?
But my friend Vanessa, who's fat, she hates it when people don't call her fat and skirt around the edges.
Oh, okay, so interesting.
That's great. No, but you've also spoken out about that, about body types and about ethnicity.
Yeah, I speak about all kinds of diversity and I seem to always get myself into trouble by doing it. You know, I feel like I'm the only one sometimes that's just standing here waving everyone's flag on my own. But, you know, I remember getting trolled for sitting down. You know, when you sit down, your skin folds. It's an organ. It's normal. I got trolled for that.
Wow.
For having my stomach stick out because I'm sat down. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. That is something I freak out about a lot, actually. I'm so glad you just mentioned it. Because even on holiday, I was like, I must breathe in. My skin's rolling over, like, and it's so toxic that I would even think about that. But it's because we don't see that.
Yeah, I got loads of tweets saying I don't like Sharon's body language. And I was like, first of all, the seats in that bloody hot, so I'm burning my skin sitting down. And second of all, it's because I'm worried about how my stomach's poking out when I'm sat down, because I know what people are going to say about it. But yeah, in terms of diversity, like, people use Love Island as a metric of what is deemed attractive and what is love and what is acceptable. And if you're only making it acceptable for a certain group of people, then all of a sudden the population that don't fit into that category are no longer deemed as attractive or desirable. Yeah. Even I felt like that in the show, because I'm not conventionally what a Love Islander looks like. All of a sudden, to anybody that watches the show, I'm deemed as unattractive, or I'm leading heterosexual boys on because I'm bisexual.
So it was definitely the boys leading the girls on from what I saw. But yeah, that's so toxic.
Yeah, I remember turning around to Jake at the time being like, I feel massive here. And I've always worn a size 8 as an adult, so that's ridiculous for me to think that I'm big when the average size woman in the UK is a size 16. I think I got to the point where I was ready to leave is when I left. So I wasn't upset about leaving, which is why I find it funny when everyone's like, she's using diversity to get on air. And I was like, I'd rather not have to talk about diversity, to be honest. I'd rather it was just there. But also, like, I was so happy to have left when I left, because any longer, my mental health probably would have crumbled even further. So, you know, I'm not going to listen to everyone when they say, oh, she's just bitter because she didn't win or she wasn't there at the final.
Have you been looked after since you left the show?
Yeah, I have. We have access to therapy after. And I think for me, it was really good because I'd never experienced homophobia before, because obviously it was my friends that knew. They're not homophobic. So to them, it's just me. They're just accepting of that. Whereas I was in a heterosexual couple after I left, and I tried to talk to him about the homophobia that I was receiving, and he laughed at me. And he was like, oh, it's not that bad. It's fine. Like, you're just being dramatic. And I was like, well, hang on. I'm trying to speak to somebody that's supposed to be really close to me about something that I'm getting backlash for. And yeah, just to sit there and laugh. I was like, wow, maybe you're not the person I want to be with if you can't accept me for all of me. And to fetishize that part of who I am, that just doesn't sit right with me. So, you know, I really relied on that therapy to be able to talk about that kind of backlash that I was receiving from the show as well. Not just my appearance and my ethnicity, but also the fact that I came out as bisexual on air.
Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to find out if I like girls and boys if I don't find out for myself.
This was the first time you'd actually come out publicly, right?
Yeah, so I mean, my friends have always known. I don't think I ever told my parents. That was the first time my parents heard about it as well. Sorry for that, Mum and Dad. But yeah, that's the first time I ever publicly spoke about it. And I forget how many people watched it. So that was a good move for me.
Did the producers and people know about it, or was it a surprise to everyone?
I think it was a surprise to everyone. I don't think I actually mentioned it to the producers.
Did they ever ask you questions about sexuality or anything like that in the process?
I mean, they were aware that I had had threesomes and I'd had sexual encounters with women, but I don't think they'd specifically asked if I was bisexual or anything about sexuality. Yeah,
right. They just was just assuming. Like, did they ask you your type and stuff like that?
Yeah, but I'm quite. My type is literally brunette. Anything that comes under brunette is like my type, basically. So that doesn't matter about your skin color, your gender, anything that is dark hair, basically.
What was the sort of reaction to that, both on and off air, after you said it?
Do you know, actually, I think the reason why the boys knew it was me straight off the cuff is that I'd made a comment to Jake about something in the kitchen when the cameras weren't rolling. You know, they just took it as, you know, I'd had threesomes. And then it wasn't until Faye turned around to me and said, so you're bisexual then, in a completely separate conversation after the challenge. And I was like, well, yeah, I guess I am then. I don't think anybody that was part of the cast found it by surprise. But I think maybe people watching it back home, when I came out and saw articles and things that people had written or comments people had made about it, I think that it took them by surprise.
How How do you feel about being bisexual, and why is it such an erased part of the LGBTQ plus experience and community?
Part of me feels like it's because people think you're either halfway to coming out as gay, or there's that weird notion that you're greedy. I remember getting lots of messages saying that I'm only bisexual because it appeases heterosexual men that I get with women. And I was like, okay, well, I don't think so. Unless you're there, which you're not, like, how are you going to know about my sex life? So I personally, I don't know. A lot of the biphobia that I've been on the receiving end of comes from heterosexual people. So I've never actually experienced it from, like, the queer community itself. And, you know, I'm still trying to figure out my sexuality and, like, understand the whole community. You know, I've always been bisexual to myself, but because I've never been so open about it, I've never done, like, spoken to somebody else about it who's part of the queer community. And I guess, like, this is probably the first proper conversation I've sat down with somebody.
Oh, wow.
You know, I've spoken to queer people and hung out with them, but, like, this is the first time I've had a proper sit-down conversation about it. So in my own head, I'm still trying to piece everything together.
Wow. Thank you. I feel really, like, scared now to say anything.
Oh, no, don't be silly.
Or put you in a position where you're uncomfortable. It's funny, like, we get all sorts of different people on our podcast, and we've found it difficult to find people that are bisexual to come on and talk about being bisexual. There doesn't seem like there's much representation in the public eye for bisexual people at all. I don't know if you feel the same. Do you feel like you're the only one, or do you feel like you do have other people you can speak to?
Part of me does feel like I'm the only one, because I remember going to events with lots of other reality TV people who are probably bigger names than I am in the industry. And they've come to me and said, oh, thank you for being bi representation. I was like, well, hang on, you've been in TV for like 10 years. How come all of a sudden I'm the representation? I've only been on a show for 5 minutes. And, like, you know, I get young girls messaging me all the time, like, trying to figure out if they're bisexual, like, what to do in terms. And I was like, I don't know. So sometimes I do feel like I'm the only one, and I don't feel like I do have that person to talk to about it. I would love to have someone to talk. Someone wants to message me and be like, let's chat. I'd be like, yeah, cool, let's do that.
Why do you feel like you don't know what to say?
Just because I still feel like I'm trying to navigate it myself. Even though I said I'm bisexual, I'm like, am I bisexual? Because, you know, someone said, well, would you date a trans person? I was like, well, yeah. So does that make me bisexual? Does that make me, like,
pansexual?
I don't know. Like, because I feel like sexuality is so fluid. I don't just want to stick myself into a box and then just, like, be there. So, like, I'm just accepting as, I think for me, I'm just open to people as they come into my life. So then I don't know how to tell someone else what to do or how to approach that. I think it's very, very hard. Like, in terms of, like, heterosexual relationships I've been in, like, I find that really easy to talk about and explain to people. But in terms of same-sex relationships I've had or sexual encounters I've had with women, I find that really hard to talk about. Because I found it so hard to come out as bisexual to the public, I don't want to kind of put that onto somebody else and make it harder for them or make it difficult for them. I'm trying to navigate my own difficulties, basically. I don't want to put it on someone else,
yeah,
and make it harder for them. I think that's what I'm trying to allude to.
That's such a normal part of being gay as well. I feel that too. I feel like I'm responsible for everybody else just because I'm talking about my experience. But it is your experience. And by sharing your experience, you will help other people naturally. So don't be afraid to tell your truth, because that's how we share who we are with each other and how we all grow collectively. I don't know if that's helpful, but I don't even know what I was saying, really.
Happy Pride from a gay and a non-gay.
I have one more thing I was going to say. I remember when I was growing up, my friends would often joke, like, bi now, gay later, if people came out as bisexual. And I've often seen gay people or lesbian people afraid to come out as gay. So as a way of, like, softening that queerness, they'll say that they're bisexual in the hope that that makes them, like, more acceptable to straight people. That's my guess. Do you think that's quite dangerous?
I think that is, because then people that actually are bisexual are afraid to say they're bisexual because they don't want people to think that they are on the way to being gay or just using it as a loose term. Like, I see so many TikToks people being like, well, you know, I want to be in a relationship with a man, but, like, I'm physically attracted and have sexual relations with women, so I'm not bisexual because I want to be with a man. I was like, no, but that you are bisexual. You just choose to have hetero romantic relationships. That's why I think being bisexual is so difficult. That is a dangerous stereotype, that you're on your way to something else or that you're just unsure of yourself. Because I am sure of who I am.
On that note, thanks so much for joining us and happy Pride.
Thank you. I'm excited. It's my first Pride.
Yes, of course it is. Well, yeah, because it's been gone for a while and now you're out everywhere. So how are you celebrating?
I'm going to Pride in London and it will be my first Pride. So I'm really excited.
Oh, are you going to wear the bisexual flag?
Yeah. I'm going to go all out there. If it's my first one, I'm going hard or going home.
I'm so excited for you. And thank you so much for, like, sharing everything and being so honest. And it's been really lovely to meet you and chat everything. And Thanks a lot. I hope this conversation helps people listening. And
do you know what? I feel like it's helped me. So if it has not helped them,
it's
helped me.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. And we'll see you in London Pride, maybe.
Yay.
Yeah. Won't miss me.
And thanks for listening, babes. Do the admin and support Gay and Non-Gay. Visit gaynongay.com/donate.